In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I cannot tell you how big of a blessing it is for me to be here with my fathers, Abuna Yunen and Abuna James. I accidentally met Abuna Yunen and Abuna James about 3 years ago in visiting someone who once lived here in Houston. And I asked Abuna Yunen if he would give me permission to come and pray with them a liturgy here, and it was the Passover of Jonah. It was during the 3 days of Jonah. And I thought it made sense, yani, for Abuna to pray the liturgies of Jonah, yani, isma Abuna Yunen, yani. For me, it was logical, but Abuna insisted that I pray. And ever since then, I have considered Abuna James and Abuna Yunen as dear fathers, and it's a blessing for me to come here and to take their blessing. So we're supposed to be talking about edifying one another. So you'll have to forgive me if, yani, I just give a small disclaimer, كده من الأول وأقول لكم إن أنا احتمال أزعل شوية منكم, لكن أنا مسافر بكرة, فيعني أنتوا, يعني, it's not a big deal. أنا ماشي, بس, الهدف ان انا مش عايز ازعل حد. I don't want to bother anybody, but at the same time I feel like some of the things that we have to discuss today, it's important for us to have this discussion, for us to be transparent and recognize where we have a responsibility to improve in our behaviors as Christians. Before we even get into the subject, allow me just to go back all the way to the beginning for just a second. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, the author of the book of Genesis tells us that when God came to create us, the Holy Trinity speaks and says what? Let us create man in our image and our likeness. Let us create man in our image and our likeness. And this point is extremely important for us if we're going to talk about how it is that we need to deal with each other. Because before I can recognize my responsibilities towards my brothers and sisters, I must first understand who I am called to be. In whose image am I created? What is my responsibility towards God before I can even begin to love my neighbor? طب what does it mean to say that we are created in the image and the likeness of God? طبعا معناها يعني حاجات كثيرة جدا, بس النهاردة عايزين نركز في نقطة واحدة. We want to focus only on one aspect of what it means to be created in the image and the likeness of God. The Orthodox Christian believes that God is both unity and complexity, all at the same time. We believe that God is one, but we also believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? We believe in that the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. We have diversity within God, but yet despite this diversity, we have unity. We have unity. And we believe that God the Father is the unbegotten, He is Creator. We believe that the Son is the begotten, and we believe that the Holy Spirit proceeds. Yani, we have here diversity among the Trinity, لكن في نفس الوقت نؤمن إن هم إيه؟ واحد. طب how can this be? How can you have diversity and unity all at the same time? The problem is that you and I sometimes feel that in order to have real unity, we have to have uniformity. Does everybody understand better the difference between unity and uniformity? Uniformity معناها إيه؟ We all look the same, we all speak the same, we are all the same. We are copy-paste of each other. This is uniformity. But see, unity does not require uniformity. We can have diversity among us with نفس الوقت and نبقى united. But where do we have proof of this in the church? Where do we see this clearly? If you come and take a look at who it is that the church is in communion with, you will notice that the Coptic Orthodox Church is in communion, ma'amin, the Armenian Church, the Syriac Church, the Church of Antioch. We see all of this diversity, the Malankala Church, the Eritrean, the Ethiopian, these six churches are in communion together. And when you come and take a look at every single one of these churches, you will notice that we are not uniform. We don't have the same hymns. We do not necessarily always have the same calendars. We don't even, there's one of the six that doesn't even have the exact same creed. We don't all fast the same way. Some of us don't use leavened bread in the Eucharist. Some of us don't put water when we come to create the body and the blood of the Lord. But we have diversity among us. لكن في نفس الوقت بنؤمن إن إحنا إيه؟ We are in communion together. We can have diversity and yet we recognize in each other that we are united. But what is the point of all of this? The point of all of this is that I cannot possibly begin to speak of what it means to edify someone that I love if I don't first realize that my purpose is not to make him the copy image of me. As long as I believe in my purpose in life is to make mini me's, I want mini Abuna Anthony's for كل حتة. على فكرة لو كان في يعني mini Abuna Anthony في كل حتة الدنيا يعني إحنا خلاص يعني رحنا في داهية بس لكن مش مشكلة. The purpose of what I'm saying is that I'm not supposed to make a copy of myself. It's okay for us to have diversity, and yet we're still united. Saint Cyril of Alexandria, he's speaking about how the Lord dealt with his disciples. And you will notice that the 12 disciples, they're all very different people. Very different people. You have the very old, you have the very young. You have the very open-minded and the very difficult. You have those who were once tax collectors and those who have been righteous their entire life. A great diversity among the 12. And Saint Cyril says that the Lord wanted unity despite the fact that they were different. What does Saint Cyril say? He says, the Lord wishes the disciples to be kept in a state of unity by maintaining a like-mindedness and an identity of will. Where are they united? In like-mindedness and in will. But that is the only thing that we have to be uniform in. This is the only thing that we all have to agree on. We're all moving in the same direction and we all want the same things for each other. But so other than that, it's okay to be different. He emphasizes it by saying what? Being mingled together as it were in soul and spirit and the law of peace and love for one another. He wishes them to be bound together tightly with an unbreakable bond of love. He wants them to be so tight and ما فيش حاجة هتعرف تفرق بينهم. You will not be able to separate between them. You will not be able to set them against each other. And this kind of tight love that he speaks of, he's about to compare it to the greatest of all loves. That they may advance to such a degree of unity that their freely chosen association might even become an image of the natural unity that is conceived to exist between who? The Father and the Son. I want you guys to try to imagine this. God wants you and me to have a unity, to have a love that is equal to what? The unity that exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. But how can we even get there if we can't even agree on morals, on principles, on what we wear, on how we talk, on where we live, on what to use? We disagree over the smallest little things. Can there exist true unity despite our diversity? And if so, how do we edify one another? I want to give you a context for the word edify. In Romans 14:19, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. St. Paul, when he says that we may edify one another, what does this even mean? And where does he say it? Let's take a look at the context. In Romans chapter 14, he begins to speak of what? He is speaking to the Jews who are in Rome, and he is telling them, please stop fighting with all the other Christians about things that don't matter. So what are the things that matter and what are the things that don't matter? At the time in Rome, you had the Jews who had just come from Jerusalem and they were arguing with the Jews who already lived in Rome at that time, and they were fighting over what? They were fighting over what is okay to eat and what is not okay to eat. They were fighting on whether we still have to keep the Sabbath or every day is holy. They were fighting whether or not we can drink or we should not drink. And the fights between them would reach a point where they could no longer love one another. They could no longer love one another because these things were more important than the love and the unity between them. He says in verse 15, he says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. And then he says a sentence that is very scary. He says, do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ has died. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ has died. But why would he say this? Because at the time, the Jewish who became a Christian would say, على فكرة, Peter came and he told us that he saw a vision and the Lord appeared to Peter and he told him, arise Peter, kill and eat, and there is no such thing as haram and halal. Everything is edified. Everything is okay. There is no such thing as impure or pure. Everything before the Lord is acceptable. So the Jewish person who had heard this from Peter would go to another Jewish person and tell him what? غصبا عنك هتاكل. You have to eat. Why? Because we're free from this. خلاص. You don't have to follow these rules anymore. And they would force the people in front of them to do things simply because they were told we are now allowed to do them. And here Paul is telling them, why would you destroy, because of your food, the one whom Christ died to save? What does the word edify even mean? If we understand the meaning of the word in the way that St. Paul said it, we will have a better idea of what it is that he is saying here. The word originally used by St. Paul, come on, all the epistles of St. Paul were written in what language? What language was St. Paul writing in? In Greek. The word that he used is oikodome. Oikodome is two words put together. The first word is oikos, where you get this idea of the word home, or a building, a structure. And the word doma, which basically means, it's almost like how we say today that there is a dome. A dome is something that is put on top that holds everything together. But at the same time, it's also the word that is used for what? For action. For taking the lead. For doing something with your hands. The actual meaning of it in the time when St. Paul used it was what? Was to build something up. To build something up. What حجنا بالعربي علشان ترجمة edify بالعربي تبقى إيه؟ نبني, صح؟ We come to build one another. So let's go back to this verse for just a second and read it correctly. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which one may build another. So what does it mean for us to be able to say نحن, we want to build one another? وعلى فكرة, it is so obvious that the meaning of this is to build each other up, that the same word is used in other passages for the word building itself, for a structure. Example, Matthew 24. The same word is used in Greek when he says what? Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Actual buildings. 1 Corinthians, he says, for we are God's fellow workers and you are God's field. You are God's building. You are the Lord's edification. For those of you who speak French, you will notice that this is the same word that we use for French to say what? Edifice. Edifice here meaning what? An actual building. And here he is saying, you are the building of the Lord. You are what the Lord has put together and built up. And you are expected to treat one another in a way where you build each other up. And it is very obvious in Ephesians 4:12 where he says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building of the body of Christ. So it's the act of one who builds and promotes another's growth. So this sounds very simple. This sounds very simple. As long as I applaud you, as long as I encourage you, as long as I tell you good for you, thumbs up, يبقى خلاص, I edified you, صح? It's not that simple. It's not as simple as looking at another and telling him bravo عليك. Edification here means I literally have to build a person who is crumbling. A person who is falling apart, and I want to raise them up. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do to humanity. I want you to imagine for just a moment that this is exactly the purpose of the incarnation. Why would God become man? St. Athanasius would come and tell us what? That man had reached a point where everything that he did was now downwardly envisioned. Everything he did was oriented towards downwards. But he came to do what? To lift us up. To tell us, look back up to where God is. You have forgotten where the Lord is found. So God becomes man so that he can remind us of where God is and who God is. He comes and shows us what we were not capable of seeing. And the Lord comes and tells you and me, I want you to do like my son did. I want when people to see you, they will be edified. When people see you, they are encouraged. They are built up. When people have no peace and they encounter you, they feel peace. When people feel unloved and they encounter you, they feel love. When people have no joy and they encounter you, they are filled with happiness. So how is this possible? How is this possible when right now I forget what the purpose of all of this was? I forget that edification actually means that I have to remember that I am created in the same image as everyone around me. But let me ask you a sincere question. Do you believe that your edification and the edifying of one another is limited to these walls? You think إن إحنا يعني هدفنا إن إحنا نبني بس الناس اللي بيقول المبنى ده؟ Is it possible that the Lord only wants us to edify those who are found in our select group of Coptic Christian people? Then who are we supposed to edify? Who are we supposed to want to build up? Who are those who are created in the image and the likeness of God? When God created humanity in the image and likeness, was it only the Coptic Orthodox Church that is found in Alexandria and Cairo and all those areas? Or is not every human being created in the image of God? Do I not have a responsibility towards every human being, no matter his background? We forget this. We forget that we are supposed to be an icon of Christ everywhere we go. St. Paul in this same chapter, listen to some of the things he says. In verse 8 of Romans 14, he says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Why is he saying this? He's saying this because it doesn't matter who it is that you are dealing with. If you find yourself having to deal one way with one person, and with another person you are different, but does this mean that you're a hypocrite? طب ناخد مثل. If أبونا is dealing with a young man who hasn't been to church in years, and the young man suddenly decides that he's coming back and it's the first time he wears a tonya, and he comes inside and he makes a mistake. He makes a mistake. If Abuna treats him the same way that he treats the deacon of the church who has been here forever and it's been 40 years and he knows all these things, that I expect more from the person who's been here. I expect more from the person who teaches others. But if I am dealing with a person that I want to encourage and edify and allow them to feel like they belong to the body of Christ, should my behavior not adapt to their reality? بس في ناس تيجي تقول إيه لا, this is hypocrisy. أبونا should be the same with everyone. Really? Is this what we believe? We believe that the purpose of equality, معناها أن كلها, يعني everyone is going to be dealt with the same way? How is that possible? طب how would you feel? How would you feel if God treated us this way? How would you feel if God judged you the same way He's going to judge Baba Shnuda? Wouldn't you worry? Wouldn't you worry if God met you on Judgment Day and He said, I'm going to judge you as if you knew and saw and did everything Baba Shnuda did? أنا ككاهن لو قال لي كده أنا في لحظتها I'm going to die. يعني I would not be able to withstand that. I want God to judge me based on the level where I am at. And we must learn to be able to discern and deal with others in that same way. If I live or I die, whether I eat or I drink, all of these things don't matter because everything is done for who? For the Lord. In verse 15, he says, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love, and do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ has died. And then finally in verse 19, he says, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Let us pursue the things which make for peace. So what are those things that get in the way of us pursuing peace? What are those things that lead us to judge one another so that we are not building each other up? And these things have broken relationships, have broken homes, have destroyed families, have torn churches apart, have ruined friendships. Why? Because I am incapable of seeing that these things don't matter. I have forgotten that I am dealing with a person created in God's image, and I have only focused on their behavior. Somebody once said that we have to learn to hate sin, but not the sinner. To hate sin, but not the sinner. Sihna, we have difficulty differentiating between the both. Now we believe that by hating sin, we have to stay away from the sinner. By hating sin, we have to tell others that this person is a sinner. By hating sin, we have to say we don't want the person who commits the sin to be in our environment. I want to confess to you publicly in front of my fathers and before the altar of the Lord that if you knew my sins, you would not allow me in your church. If you knew my thoughts, if you knew my past, if you knew what I suffer, you would not allow me to stand here and to speak to you and your children. But the Lord covers my sins. And the sins that I have are internal. They're not visible. Will I now come and judge my brother or my sister because their sin is different than mine? Will I come and say this person has no place among us because I see something in him that is just different than mine? I am dying of this kind of illness and you are dying of a different kind of illness. And I think that somehow my death is better than yours. At the end of the day, both of us have to recognize and you might suffer differently from me. But this is no reason for me not to edify you. For me not to love you and to build you up. And some of these things that we have on the screen right now are some of the most basic things. If we made an entire list of things that lead us to judge one another and not build each other up, the list would be unending. Whether or not the person drinks or doesn't drink, what the person eats or what he doesn't eat, when he eats and what he doesn't eat. Then we have a store in Canada, a small coffee shop called Tim Hortons. Halas? Tim Hortons, yani I know it just recently entered into the US, but this is like a Canadian staple. It's like Dunkin' Donuts بالنسبة لنا. It's huge. Halas? And some people would come to Sunday school and they would buy their children donuts from Dunkin' Donuts, even on fasting days. We had a war at church. A war. Why? This has eggs. For sure, this has eggs. And people argued. And even Abuna said, Ya Habibi, it's not like we're offering them steak and potatoes. إحنا بنقدم لهم donuts. يعني معلش, يعني, what are we going to do? What we're going to do, we're going to email the head office of Tim Hortons and ask them for the list of ingredients. I want to tell you that in the end, they found something called skim milk powder in a variety of the donuts, not all of them. And he responded by saying, what? I want to know which donuts have this in it. But this is not where the problem ends. The problem ends in A, the person comes and he says, here is the list. Here is the list, and I was right. But what happens now if one day, by accident, by chance, by miserable fate, a young man or woman walks into the church and he is holding one of those four donuts? Anuslobo, we're going to crucify the person. وزاي ومش زاي, you might as well be eating kofta. Ya salam. I'm going to turn this into, I have broken the laws of the Lord and we have to set a standard and know this is how we, everything is black and white. But where is the spirit of edification? Where is telling that 12-year-old boy, I'm proud of you because you're trying to fast? Where is telling this young woman, good for you. You could have chosen to eat something else, but you chose something that was fast-worthy. Where is the spirit of building up? What kind of music you listen to? And we begin to say, لا, أصلا, there is music that is acceptable and music that is not acceptable. But what makes music acceptable and not acceptable? I am not used to all of this banging and clanking, and it's very loud and it's very aggressive. It's different for you. It's different for you. But the person who is listening to it, to them, it's acceptable. لا ما يصحش. What does that even mean? What does it mean to say ما يصحش? I don't even know if there is a word for it in English. It doesn't... Why would we apply these kind of standards when they don't exist? How a person dresses. خدوا بالكم how a person dresses. يعني إحنا we all agree that there is some sort of common sense. There is some sort of common sense. If I am wearing something that is five sizes too small for me, there is a problem. Because if I consider this to be something that meets the standards of my church and I chose to wear it, why are you bothered by this? Why are you bothered by this? Today, for example, we have a trend in North American society where we buy clothes that are already broken and torn. Yani, when I grew up, you were supposed to buy clothes that were yani, whole. You paid for an entire set of pants, not just three quarters of it. But so today, this is what they consider to be stylish. And it's not like they're coming to church with it. They're wearing it outside. لا أصل هم بس الولاد الصيعين اللي بيلبسوا الحاجات دي. في إيه؟ Why do we categorize people based on how they dress and what they do? Where you live, do you live in this neighborhood? Do you live in that neighborhood? Do you live in this kind of house? Do you live in a bigger house, a smaller house? And then there is the issue of nationality and race and where you come from and what you look like. What I want to confess to you, and this is very personal. I want to speak about me, I'm not going to speak about anyone else because I am sure that all of you are much better than me. But I know that I have to pray and tell God, Lord, help me not to be racist. Lord, help me not to judge a person based on the way they look or how they dress or if they have tattoos or if they have piercings, if they have long hair or short hair or spiky hair or no hair. أي حاجة. Help me not to look at the person and to judge them without knowing their heart. Because I might look like somebody who is acceptable to you, but you know nothing about my sins. And if the Lord ever came to me and told me, Anthony, I will make a deal with you. I will show you who this person really is if you allow me to show everyone who you really are. Deal. What would I do? What would I do? This person may be different from me, but one thing we have in common is that we have the same Father. I cry out to the same God as this person and I call Him Abba, Father. And by calling Him Father, I call this person my brother or my sister. And if I am not worried about their fate, then there is a problem. I must find something worthy of edification in every person who walks into the church and every person outside of the church. If every person is worthy of the sacrifice that the Lord offered on the cross, if every person is worthy of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, if every person is created in His image, then why would I not find a way to edify them? What does this mean? Does this mean that Abuna, you are telling us, نحن we're supposed to accept everyone the way that they are? There is a saying that exists today among many people within our generation that says what? Take me as I am, or watch me as I go. يا كده يا بلاش. Take me as I am, or watch me as I go. No, حبايبي. I am not saying that we are supposed to open our doors and accept among us sin. But I want to remind you that this is a place for what? For sinners. And forgive me if you feel like I am judging. Is the church not for those who need salvation? Is the church not a hospital for the sick? Is the church not for people who say, I need healing? Isn't that what happens? Abuna stands at the altar during the liturgy and he prays a prayer. And he says, Lord, because of my sins and the abominations of my heart, please do not deprive the people of the grace of your Holy Spirit. ما تمنعش الناس من نعمة روح القدس بسببي أنا. The priest and the bishop are the first people to confess that they are in need of healing. So we are not supposed to accept sin among us. But we have to expect that we are a group of people who are sick, who turn to each other and say what? Come and meet the physician who will heal you and me. Come and meet the one who has offered himself as medication to cure our diseases. So if somebody comes and says, you have to take me as I am, no, of course not. Of course not. The Lord doesn't accept us the way we are. Look at every person who has encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved them, but to all of them he said what? Go and sin no more. He did not tell them, go, habibi, انت حلو زي ما انت, ما تتغيرش خالص, انت جميل. That is not what he told the people who came to him. He did not tell them, do not change and remain as you are. But what did he tell them? He tells them, I love you and I forgive you, but sin no more. And this has to be the message of the Christian to his fellow brothers and sisters. I love you, but you and I have to struggle to no longer sin. It is not accept me the way I am because I don't plan on changing. It is come, let us work together. There is a beautiful story in the story of the Desert Fathers about two monks who were sent together by the abbot of the monastery to go do work in the city next to them. And they were both going to two different communities within the same village. So they left the monastery together because there is a rule among the early church monasticism. Whenever a monk leaves his monastery, he always goes with a brother. They do not leave alone. So they both left together. And they were supposed to meet back after a day's work and walk back to the monastery together. So they both went into the village, and after it came the end of the day, one of the brothers came to the other and he said, what? You have to go back to the monastery without me? Because I have committed a grave sin. And I know that in the eyes of God, I am no longer worthy to be called a monk. And I know that our father, the abbot of the monastery, will be very upset. So you leave without me. But his brother, wanting to edify him, wanting to tell him, don't do this, he said, believe me, I have fallen also in just of a grave as a sin. And I feel the same way as you are. Come, let us go together back to the monastery. Come, let us go together and meet the abbot and tell him that we have both sinned. And let us encourage one another and edify one another for the sake of being saved. And he had not committed a sin at all. He took his brother and they went back, and the abbot of the monastery was very, very severe on them. And he gave them a very strict rule, a very strict canon that they must observe for their sake and for their repentance. And the brother who had not sinned followed the canon exactly as if he did. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the abbot and he told him, because of the love that this brother has shown to the other, the Lord has blotted out and forgiven the sins of the other monk. Tell them both that the canon has to stop now. The Lord has absolved them. And the abbot called both of them and he revealed to the monk who had sinned that it's because of the love of your brother that the Lord was capable of accepting your repentance. I want us to have that. I want us to reach a point where if we see a person leaving the church, we tell them, no, you, this is where you belong. This is where you should be. And you and me will pray for one another. You pray that the Lord grants me repentance, and I pray that the Lord grants you repentance. And we edify one another. We build each other up despite our differences. The purpose is not for us to please one another. The purpose is not for us to find a way so that all we're really doing is telling each other, "Inta gamil." That's not the point. The point is for us to build each other up. The scholar Origen of Alexandria, he is commenting on verse 15, on verse 2 of Romans 15. St. Paul says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So Origen says what? We ought to please God first and then our neighbor. And then he anticipates that people will have questions. So what does he say? He says, but perhaps someone will say that Paul is contradicting himself here, because elsewhere St. Paul says, if I please men, that I am not a servant of Christ. But which is it? Do I please men or do I not please men? So Origen answers it here by saying what? In answer to this, it must be said that it is one thing to try to please others in order to get their praise, and quite another to please them in order that one's life might be blameless. so that those who meet us may be edified by what they see and hear. We are not called to please others by doing things which are against faith or against honor or piety. Note that Paul himself says this when he adds that in pleasing our neighbor, the purpose is to what? Is to edify him. I am not doing this just so you can think that I am a nice guy. I am not approaching people just so they can say, oh look, Christians are nice. I am doing this because I want you to be saved. I am doing this because I know that I need others to do it with me. The problem is that sometimes we feel like there are just some things that are unacceptable. There are some things that no matter what happens, we cannot accept these things. And sometimes it's because we are very severe towards ourselves and others. Sometimes it's because our culture that is ingrained in us won't allow us to see anything different. But in Romans chapter 5, St. Paul says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ has died for us. God did not tell humanity, اتعدلوا بعد كده هجيلكم. He did not say, when you reach a point where you are somewhat acceptable, I'll come visit you. When humanity was still at its worst, He became man and He saved us. He took us while we were still filthy. And He cleansed us and edified us. The same way that a mother will never take her child and say, there is no point in bathing the infant. Now he's going to do it again and again and again and again, and he's going to get dirty. What's the purpose? Let's leave him like this, and at the end of the day, we'll do it once. Khalas. The mother will go through the process of constantly wanting to do what? To cleanse the baby, to take the infant, to love the infant, to edify and clean the infant from any filth that is surrounded. Why? Because the mother loves despite all of these things. That if God deals like this with you and me, should I not do the same with my brothers and sisters? Should I not tell them, I recognize that you need Christ in your life and I want to be an icon of Christ for you? And then St. Paul says something very scary. He says, it's very simple, Habibi. If you do not love, then you destroy. There is no in between. If you do not love, then you destroy. I want to share with you a story that is true. I used to serve at a church before becoming a priest, and there was this young man who had a very, very difficult life. A very difficult life. One of those people who, when you discover everything they have been through, you really feel bad for the person. You think to yourself, Annie, it's a miracle that this person is still standing. And he's been through so many difficulties, and he's at some point he had to force himself to be homeless, and he begged to be able to survive, and he lost his father and his mother over things that were ridiculous. And the person always felt that when he came to church, he was being judged. So Abuna told me, please, and he considers you to be like an older brother, serve him. And I was young, I was maybe 21 years old. So we worked so hard with this young man. And we served him outside the church, and we loved him. We loved him truly. And we did everything that we could, but his entire purpose was to tell us, I want you to know that I have seen God's love in you, but so please don't ask me to come to church. I can't do it. When I come to church, something always happens. Let me love God from a distance. Tell Abuna to come to me. I cannot go into that building. I can't. And we worked very hard with him, and then he finally agreed. And we told Abuna, he's going to come 10 minutes before communion, he's going to take communion, he's going to leave. It was a sniper attack. And we walked him in and out. Please, Abuna, would you allow for this? And he said, absolutely. Absolutely, basi itnawil. He has to partake of the Eucharist. As he is walking into the church, he had just gotten a piercing in his ear. So he covered the piercing with a band-aid so that nobody sees it. حظه الوحش, the band-aid, the flap was open. It wasn't stuck to his ear. I cannot tell you how in that moment I saw exactly what the devil does in our churches. At the door of the church, he opens the door of the church. He is doing the sign of the cross. He takes two steps in. And a gentleman who is always loving, yani, he is one of those men who in the church, everyone loves him. He is so kind. He is so loving. He is so compassionate. You don't understand what happened that day. He saw this young man walking in. And he tells him, إِلِّفْ وَدْنَكْ دَهْ. He goes, what is that in your ear? Because he saw the earring. The young man turned around. He walked out of the church. And it took us 2.5 years to bring him back. 2.5 years. This is a real story. Why? Over what? Over what? And it's not like the man who said that is a man who is known to always be very opinionated. خالص. But the devil is at work to pin us against each other. There is warfare among us, so that instead of loving one another and edifying one another, we are tearing each other down. You are either building or truly you are destroying. The question is, what am I doing? St. John Chrysostom, when he is speaking about destroying the work of God, he says that when St. Paul says that we destroy the work of God, it means the salvation of a brother. What are we destroying? Not the person. We're destroying the work of salvation that God has come to do in the person's life. For these people were so far away from building others up that they were prepared to destroy what God had made, and not for any great matter, but for something very trivial. حاجات هايفة جدا جدا خلينا نتضايق من بعض وبدل ما نبني بعض بنعمل ايه؟ نهد في بعض. Instead of building each other up, we tear each other down over things that are trivial, things that are useless. My brothers and sisters, believe me when I tell you that if we truly remember that God's image is found in every single human being, I will find a reason to edify my brother or my sister, no matter what they have done. And when I cannot find a reason, I will choose to be silent. I will not say anything. I will lower my eyes. I will not give a look. Why? Because I know that unless I love, then what I am doing is destroying. I bring you back to the expectation. And we'll end with this. If I truly remember that the church is a hospital, it is not a museum. But what do we mean by it's not a museum? When we go to a museum, what do we expect to see? We expect to see things that are a spectacle. Things that are great and put on a pedestal, and you can come and you can see examples of things that are great. And you come to see these things put on display. The church is not a museum. Nobody wakes up and says, I want to see what saints look like. Let me go to church. I'll see saints on display. The church is not a museum. What is the church? The church is a hospital. The same way that if I have to go to the emergency room, what do I expect to see in the waiting room of an emergency hospital? I expect to see people who are sick. Are they all sick with the same thing as me? No. One is coughing, one is bleeding, one is passed out, one is sleeping. They're all different. ينفع بقى أنا أدخل المستشفى دي وأقعد أقول إيه ده؟ إيه ده؟ Would it be right for me to walk in and to start judging other people because they are sick differently than me? My purpose is to remind myself that I have come looking for healing. I have come trying to find the great physician, the one who will offer me what I need so that he can heal me from my sin. And if I see a brother or a sister who is as sick as me, but with a different illness, then I should recognize that they have come seeking the same thing as me, regardless of how different that may be. To God be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.